I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by Texas First Bank on Sports Radio 610.
Let's go around the league. You said you liked hearing Nick Caserio speak. He's going to be on with Payne and Pendergast Tuesday, 7:30 a.m., so you'll get to hear him speak even more.
Is he going to be talking ball, or is he going to be talking... what's he going to be talking?
He'll be talking whatever. Whatever they ask him, he's going to answer. Might not be the answer you like, but he's at least available. He's going to be available to you 7:30 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. Jags at Rams. Rams, they've lost three straight. This has to be a get-right game. Odell Beckham Jr. did not practice. Jacksonville, things haven't gone as well as many, including myself, thought they would go in the first year of Urban Meyer. Got to think the Rams get right here. I don't see the Jags beating the Rams, although they have beaten Buffalo. Don't see it happening, though.
Yeah, I look at the Rams and the fact that they've looked bad over the past few weeks, and if they don't win this game, they're going to find themselves in a bad situation when you're talking about the NFC West. They got to get this win because the 49ers are coming. You know, the Cardinals are the Cardinals, and so you're going to find yourself in a bad spot, especially in the NFC because there's so many really good teams. So, they got to get this win. It's a must-win situation for the Rams if they want to have a shot to hosting a home game in the playoffs. And so, give me the Rams by 10. I think they'll beat up on the Jaguars.
Ravens at Pittsburgh. Ravens have found ways to win. This team has been hit by injuries as much as any other team in the NFL. They find themselves at the top, though. First time they've ever been favored at Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. Can they deliver the kill shot on a Pittsburgh team, which they've been hit by injuries themselves, and they have a quarterback who is a ghost of his former self?
Yes, I believe they will. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers got some internal turmoil going on over there. Like, you got Ryan Clark from the outside talking about how things should be. You got Chase Claypool talking about practice music needs to be more fun, and they need to be, things need to be funner around there in the practices, and that'll translate into games. I guess y'all need to go out there and play football better. And right now, they're not playing at a high level. Ben Roethlisberger's arm just, he's 18, yeah. 19,
he's
something
old,
like that.
And he's definitely not on the TB12 method.
Right. He definitely is not eating, the same type of stuff that Tom's eating and drinking all the water and all that type of stuff. And so, this is a bad matchup for the Steelers just because the Ravens defense is going to get after immobile. Because remember, Roethlisberger used to be mobile. He's not mobile anymore, and his arm's not working. It's a bad combination. Give me the Ravens.
Chargers at Bengals. Chargers are the seventh seed at this point, although they're 2-4 in their last six. Bengals, pretty hot. Chargers have the same record as the Broncos and the Raiders. Chargers at Cincinnati. I like the Chargers in this game. I think they're going to get right against the Bengals. Bengals have been good, but you'll see them blow out the Ravens, then lose to the Jets. They're still a very young team, and I think they're still trying to find their way. I like Justin Herbert and the Chargers in this one.
I like both of these teams' offenses tremendously. I look at both teams. I think they'll put up somewhere around 900 yards of total offense. But give me Cincy at home. Cincy at home, that running game with Mixon. They got multiple receivers that can make plays for them. Higgins, Chase, And what's the other one? Boyd. And I think they got one more. They got the tight end is pretty good. I think his name is Umazar or whatever his name is.
Yeah, like, they got a squad.
They got a squad. And then Joe Burrow just distributing it all over the place, and he can take it down and run it himself. So
Bengals.
Give me the Bengals by three.
That would get real interesting down at the bottom of the playoff picture. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Listen to Tom Brady's victory video. This dude's got some, like, dad swag going.
All right, so I'm a little late on our victory post. Been a busy couple of days, but ready to get back at it. And happy to be 8-3. Now we're on to Atlanta. Huge division opponent on the road. Doesn't get any bigger than this. And it's December football. We will be ready to go.
There you go. Tom Brady.
What's up with the music in the background?
They
with
start
the beat
they
about to drop?
Yeah, he goes, let's go. And then they play the music.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, man. Did you see the little thing on it was on Instagram where there was a kid that tried to FaceTime, like they do like a WhatsApp or like a group.
Yeah, they had a group chat with their middle school or high school basketball game.
Yeah.
They had one number wrong. They ended up getting a Tampa Bay player in the group chat.
This is Sean Murphy Button.
Yeah. And then they FaceTimed him. He FaceTimed him and Tom Brady and Gronk hopped on.
They're a likable team, man. They're a likable team. Bruce Arians at the helm and all these different ballers that decided to just come back. And they're a likable team. Atlanta's Atlanta. They got injuries. They got guys out for mental health. They got guys out by injury. This is going to be a runaway.
Ridley out for the mental health. And then you have Cordell Patterson. He's playing, but he's a little bit banged up. Pitts was banged up. Yeah, they're banged up. Arthur Smith's not doing a terrible job. This is like a very weird transition year for the son of the founder of FedEx.
Yeah, listen. Matt Ryan is not the Matt Ryan of old. He's starting to get up there.
There's
he's not being able
news.
To throw the ball. It's not breaking news, but I'm just telling you, like, this might be his last year with the Falcons. They got to find a new quarterback.
There's a lot of dead cap there, sir.
I thought that was true for this past season. It's still going to be there like next year too. Contract that bad?
Quite a bit.
Damn, I thought they was going to be able to get away from it.
Quite a bit.
This year, like after this year.
Giants and Dolphins. Dolphins looking for 5 straight. They're 5-7 right now. They win this. It's going to be very interesting to see how Miami finishes it. They're facing a Giants team that stinks. I think we can both just move past this quickly. Dolphins win 5 straight.
No question. They're in the running to be in the playoffs, and it's surprising when they started off so bad, but they're on the road. Tua is doing his thing. Unfortunate for the Texans.
Eagles at Jets. Eagles missed their opportunity to make the run. Cowboys won yesterday, too. You lose to the Giants. You don't get much attention here. I think the Jets actually win this game. Robert Saleh with another win.
I agree.
At home.
Watching the Jets play,
they know what the hell they're doing. You can look
past
their results. Like, you can look past their results. They have an OC, Matt LaFleur's brother, who was Shanahan's run game coordinator or whatever. They know what they're doing. Robert Saleh, very decisive. When they went for it on fourth down, it was immediate. They actually got some underrated players on defense,
they
too.
They do. That's what
very
I'm saying.
Very underrated.
They look good. And
they got two
first-rounders.
And they got two first-rounders. One of them is Seattle's, which is going to be a good pick.
Ooh, that's going to be top
Jamal Adams' top trade
10.
Was nice.
It might be top 8, top 7.
I'm telling you, Jets they don't sleep on them. Washington at the Raiders. Raiders are, again, they have the same record as the Chargers and the Broncos. They're coming off that win against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Washington looking to improve to .500. Taylor Heinicke playing pretty well. This is an under-the-radar, very intriguing matchup. I don't think, like, the national audience is, like, foaming at the mouth for this, but this is a game that I probably will watch.
The Raiders, I thought, was done. I think we talked about this like 3 weeks ago. I thought they were done then, and then they lost a couple of games. But then they snuck up and won a game last week, and they're still in the mix. They're 6-5. They're still right there in the hunt. And Washington is kind of right there in the same predicament out there in the NFC. It's a must-win game for both of them because we're coming down. This is the stretch run. There's 6 games left in the season. You can't just drop a random game. Give me Washington, though. Give me Washington. Give me Antonio Gibson. I think he's going to make a bunch of plays for them. Shout out to the Memphis Tigers and the non-Power 5 conferences.
There you go. Shout out to AG. Could have been a Texan, too. Yet another one that they passed on. Arizona, 9-2. They're going to travel to Chicago to face the Bears, who are sitting at 4-7. Colt McCoy did a good job of house-sitting. Kyler Murray, you're banged up. we're not going to do what Cleveland's doing with Baker Mayfield. We're not going to do what the Rams are doing with Matthew Stafford. Win us a couple of games. Keep us at the top of the NFC. Kyler Murray, come back. Get right. And, oh, by the way, speaking of get right, you get to face Chicago Bears team that's not very good.
Yeah, they're not good. And Nagy, I guess they won that last game. They were probably going to fire him after that game against Detroit. I guess since he won, they kept him. He's going to be the first guy that's fired out of all the head coaches in the league this year. And I think it's going to be a blowout. I think the Cardinals are going to run through Chicago. Kyler Murray is going to be back in the fold, and we got Hop back. All these weapons back on the field together, and they've been winning without those guys, and they're going to really thrive this week against the Bears.
Got a lot of dudes from the South though that don't like that cold weather, which I can very much relate to. I know Kyler ain't a fan of that. I don't know what it's like in Chicago right now. I know Nuke ain't too crazy about the cold.
You don't remember the catch that Nuke had? Was it against the Bills or was it against the Jets or the Giants? It was somewhere up there in New York.
I think probably all of them.
He made that catch that wasn't a catch because he lined up wrong or whatever. Like, Hop's hands are so big, they don't get cold. Man. Like, he going to catch every damn thing.
I just hate that cold. 49ers at Seahawks. Seahawks appear to be dead. No Deebo Samuel, though, for the 49ers. 49ers up to 6-5. They're on a little bit of a run. Seattle, that's a dead team walking right there. They are the only team in the NFC West that is just completely donezo. The only team with a losing record. All the other teams have at least 6 wins. San Francisco is going to, without their top 3 running backs and without Deebo, they're still going to run the ball on Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle's been struggling offensively tremendously. Like, they haven't been able to get DK Metcalf the ball. Tyler Lockett's been good, but that's all they got. And Russell Wilson is still not back 100% from his injury. He hasn't looked the same since he's come back. He looked really bad in that first game. He got a little bit better as time's gone on, but it's still not good enough to win a game like this. Like, give me the 49ers. Even though Deebo Samuel is not going to be playing, they still got Kittles. They still will throw any random running back behind that offensive line in that scheme and get you 100 yards. And so, give me the 49ers.
Vikings at Lions, no Dalvin Cook. Sunday Night Football, let's skip ahead to that. Broncos at Chiefs. Broncos are right there in the mix. Teddy Bridgewater's had an under-the-radar, very, very good season. They're only one back of Kansas City in the win column. I think the Broncos have a chance to go to Kansas City and pull off this upset. I know Kansas City's playing really well. Give me the upset. Give me the Denver Broncos upsetting the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football on national TV.
They have a chance because their defense is damn good. And they weren't even at 100%, and they've traded away Von Miller, and Kareem Jackson didn't play last week. But their defense is just really damn good. They get after everybody. They get after quarterback. They got Pat Surtain Jr. just picking off balls and looking like his dad, looking better than his dad. And his dad was a baller. Like, that's going to keep you in a lot of ball games. But the Chiefs' offense has looked good over the past few weeks, and I think they're going to have a tough time slowing those guys down enough to come out with a W. I think it'll be very competitive. But give me the Chiefs at home.
Chiefs a 9.5 point favorite. Monday Night Football, Patriots at Bills. 8-4 Pats, 7-4 Bills.
I can't bet against Belichick, bro. And the fact that the Bills don't run the ball well, and so that means that now Belichick can just focus on taking away what they love to do. And it's not as if Buffalo had a running game and then they had all those receivers that they got, then you had Josh Allen throwing the ball and being accurate, you say, well, they're going to have a hard time stopping those guys. But they don't run the ball well, and I think the Patriots are going to be able to eliminate Stephon Diggs. They don't double him all game long. Give me the Patriots, man. The Patriots are going to end up winning the AFC East, which is crazy to think.
It's around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 60. I'm Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Coming up, wish might be granted on Sunday for yours truly. Cannot wait. Next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
I asked for one thing when we started the show. I didn't ask for a lot. I didn't ask for anything unrealistic. I didn't ask for anyone to lose their job. I didn't ask for anyone to be injured. I just asked for a simple break. I'm not going to quit the Texans. We're in this together. The game will be watched. It will be consumed. It will be treated like any other Sunday would, even when the team is better. But I just need a break from seeing number 31 tote the rock. David Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder of the worst trade in franchise history. Ineffective. You wonder what other guys could do if they weren't on the field. And it looks like I may get my wish. David Johnson not at practice today. Brandon Cooks and Chris Conley return. David Johnson not at practice, which leads me to believe that there will be some unprotected wrecks on Sunday, and I will not have to watch number 31 tote the rock. Small thing, small gesture, but much appreciated, because I think I only speak for me. I'm not going to speak for many.
Right.
But me personally, I get very, very annoyed watching David Johnson play football. And the fact that I don't have to do that Sunday when I go to NRG, it's a small win, and you got to gather your small wins in the situation you're in. I'm happy I don't have to watch David Johnson.
Tiny victories, man. It's all about tiny victories. That's a small win, a tiny victory for you, Landry, and I'm happy that you're able to get that. You look at it, man. If you go a week without practicing, especially on this team, you're not going to play in the game. Because what you do that week of practice determines if you're going to be active or inactive. And since he's been out this entire week, you can expect that you're going to see a little bit more of Rex Burkhead, like you said, unprotected Rex, and then you're going to have Royce Freeman might get his first few carries of the year, and then maybe
Scotty Phillips next week,
but I don't know who else will be able to tote the note. I guess it's going to be a heavy dose of Rex, and I asked for it last week. Thank you. Looks like we're going to get it. He looks like he's got some juice to him. Now, can we get the offensive line to just not give up penetration, not get just totally whooped at the point of attack. Just hold the line. Let's get some zero plays.
Do you think that's realistic? Plays. You're the former O lineman. You watch these guys.
Is it realistic? I don't put it into that, because in reality they've been bad all year. They've been bad for years up front. So I can't realistic.
What
it's,
about
it's
these
possible.
Guys specifically?
It's definitely possible.
Though.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
Come on.
Anything's possible. It's possible. Shout out to KG. It's possible. Listen, you're playing against the Colts. You're talking about DeForest Buckner.
He's hurt, though.
He's hurt.
Up.
Is he out for this game?
He's not out. He's banged up.
I saw he was banged up last game, but yeah. I don't think if he's not out, then you still got to deal with that guy. That's a grown man. I don't care if it was a really good offensive line he was going against. He's going to do well against him. So, sometimes – you get beat because the other person across from you is better than you. Sometimes you get beat because you do some really dumb things. And the Texans offensive line has done some stuff that's just like, you can't do that. You can't do that and continue to be an NFL player. So Rex Burkhead can get the ball out of the backfield, catch it, and make some things happen. He's not going to go 80, but he's going to get his run after the catch is pretty good, I think. And so from what I've seen, him getting the ball on a more consistent basis, I think will help the offense overall. What?
You're sure about that?
Compared to David Johnson,
I'm absolutely sure about that. Compared to David Johnson, okay.
Of course, we're not championing the Rex Burkhead campaign as a number one overall pick in the draft, bro. We're talking about comparing it. The whole thing was David Johnson related.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
It's okay.
I was a little bit.
You got to work with what you got.
Yeah.
We got Rex Burkhead and Royce Freeman and David Johnson if he was healthy. These are not excellent options, but out of the three. Give me Rex Burkhead.
It's some statistics I want to throw at you just to put in perspective where the Texans are, and we'll do the offense, which obviously is going to be bad, and then we'll do the defense. And a good stat that I think you would like to elaborate on because you like what you're seeing from this guy, David Johnson, his 3.1 yards per carry this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that matches the career low for Alfred Blue? David Johnson's averaging 3.1 yards per carry this year.
Yeah.
That is the career low for a season for Alfred Blue. His rookie year, he averaged 3.1. He never averaged less than that again. So David Johnson this year is averaging what was the worst year yards per carry for Alfred Blue.
So first and foremost, y'all need to put some respect on Alfred Blue's name. There was a lot of disparaging comments about him during his tenure here as a Houston Texans player. Good dude, but I don't know what you expected out of the guy, but he was averaging, what, like 3.6 or something like that, 3.7 yards per carry? Wouldn't you want that right now? 3.7. Now you're getting 3.1. I didn't realize that. You put it that way. That's bad, bro.
3.1 yards per carry. That would be Alfred Blue's career low.
And you know what? Listen to me. Listen to this, though. Or when you're watching the games, like a lot of times they're giving David Johnson the ball in situations where it's mop up runs. It's third and 12, and they just give him a draw, and he'll get six.
Yes.
Like this happens consistently, and you're only averaging 3.1 overall.
Yes.
That's bad, bro.
That's Alfred Blue's career low.
It's tough to watch, man. It makes my stomach hurt because we're better than that.
I want to get your reaction to this stat. Tyrod Taylor
deserves more, damn it.
Since his return, Tyrod Taylor is 55 of 93, 59% completion. Tom Savage in 2017, 57.5.
That's better than Savage.
So I'm putting this
better
in perspective.
Better than Tom.
168 yards per game, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Tyrod Taylor has not been good since he's come back the last 3 games. What am I to make of that? Because I know you're a Tyrod guy.
I'm a Tyrod guy because every place that he's been, when he's had a situation where he had like good players around him, he's done well. And the difference is now is he doesn't have the players around him. And, like, the one player that he does have around him that you can count on,
Cooks.
He doesn't get thrown the ball, like Brandon Cooks, which is
–
is that by
fault?
Design? Not necessarily. I mean, not necessarily. If they're telling – we don't know what the progressions are from play to play. On that fourth down play where he throws a stop route to Nico Collins, I'm pretty sure they told him that's where they want him to go.
Yeah.
Because if not, why wouldn't you go to the more – seasoned, experienced, bona fide player as opposed to throwing the ball to the rookie.
Maybe they want to get the rookie some work.
And that's on them, not on Tyrod Taylor. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's hard to evaluate a lot of those guys individually because they're fighting against a ton. You're fighting against scheme, you're fighting against the guys next to you, you're fighting against just overall there's just so much bad around you. It's hard to evaluate individual guys, but Tyrod hasn't been good since he's came back. Like the first game he was bad, the second game he was a lot better, but it still wasn't overall good. The first half of the game last week you thought, okay, this is kind of the guy that we thought we were going to get, and then the second half it just fell off completely. So there's going to be no kind of, hey, There's going to be no legit reason to say, nah, don't play Davis Mills going forward if Tyrod doesn't play better. Like, Tyrod's got to play better, and he's got to be closer to that guy that he's been everywhere else and closer to the guy that he was when he first got here for you to keep the Davis Mills protesters at bay and have a legitimate reason, too. Because after a while, if you keep putting performances that he's putting out there the last few weeks, you're going to be like, we might as well put the young guy in there and see what he can do. Because you're not living up to what your standard is. And that's the reason why they brought him here.
Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Coming up, the good thing to look at when it comes to the Houston Texans and how accidents around the NFL, not just in Houston, are producing the best results. Football Friday continues next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Jonathan Grenard, 8 sacks in 8 games. Every Texans defensive lineman that has registered a sack since 2018 has 11 sacks in 81 games. Duke Ejiofor with 1, Charles Omenihu with 7, Ross Blacklock with 2, Roy Lopez with 1. That's 11 sacks in 81 games. Jonathan Grenard this season, 8 sacks in 8 games. Production, you like to see it, especially on a team that doesn't have a lot of bright spots on it. But it's also an example, I think, of many around the NFL. I don't think this is just exclusive to Houston, where sometimes you can accidentally produce favorable results. We remember the viral video of Bill O'Brien cussing at Jack Easterby and whoever else when Grenard was selected. It looked like he said, "That's your pick, Jack." Kind of lucked into that one. But it's not just a Houston thing, because I think if you look on the opposing sidelines this weekend, Frank Reich, who many people are a fan of, I'm a fan of Frank Reich. I think he's done a good job dealing with what the Colts have had to deal with mm-hmm. Andrew Luck's abrupt retirement, et cetera. And it seems like they're heading in the right direction. Frank Reich was an accident. They originally wanted to hire Josh McDaniels, and they lucked into Frank Reich. You look at yesterday, you're watching the Thursday Night Football, the beginning of Week 13. Dak Prescott, the Cowboys tried to trade up to get Paxton Lynch.
Wow.
Dak Prescott fell into their lap, so they did not originally want that to happen. And you look on the other side of the rock for the Cowboys, Micah Parsons gets his 10th sack. That was not the original plan either. They liked the corners. They wanted a cornerback, but Micah Parsons fell into their lap. And we could even take it to New England. Mac Jones fell into their lap at 15. They're going to be playing on Monday nights, so you're going to get an example there. So the two teams that we're going to see Sunday and the team that starts off Week 13 in the NFL and one of the teams, New England, who's going to end Week 13 in the NFL, they show you that sometimes accidents produce results.
It is an inexact science. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And you see that time and time again throughout the NFL from season to season, from year to year. You see there's examples of people, and you just laid out a bunch of them that are really good ones, where people lucked into, or, you know, unfortunate situations end up having silver linings and working out for the good in the long run. And Jonathan Grenard, if he was an accident, that was a hell of an accident, because he's a hell of a football player and he's playing at a very high level. He's one of those guys that, you know, he has the 8 sacks, and sometimes guys will get a bunch of stats and they'll put some numbers together and you say, yeah, but they actually ain't that good. But he is that good. Like, he's getting sacks, he's getting production, but you watch him play in and play out, he's consistently winning his one-on-one matchups. And if you're winning one-on-one matchups and causing disruptions and getting pressures, a lot of times it'll necessarily translate to sacks. But for him, he had both. And he's not doing it in a conventional way. He's not 6'6" and 270 pounds and just running people over. He plays a game with really good leverage. He plays a game with quickness. He plays a game with, he got dog in him. He's got an attitude. He plays the game with. And it's fun to watch. And it's fun to watch, especially when there's not a lot to pick out that's good when you're watching the games on Sundays. Watching him play is good. And I enjoy watching him play. I enjoy watching guys like Roy Lopez play, another young guy that's playing at a high level. I enjoy watching Malik Collins play. There's a lot of names on defense that you see, you look at and you say to yourself, I like watching this guy play. He plays the game the right way and he's getting it done. And so there's something to be said for that. And then hopefully that, the Texans can continue to find some young pieces to add to the puzzle so that we can get out of the situation that they're in right now. Cause right now they're not good and they're not going to be good, until they continue to add more players. And so, Jonathan Greenard is one of those guys.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, and this is going to be very, very tough. This is I don't know how this case study is even – I don't even know how this is going to be done. I don't even know how like guys like John Harris, who released his first Harris 100 on HoustonTexans.com, are going to do this. But we're 146 days away from the NFL draft. It's going to be a big day in Texans history. It's going to be the most pivotal day up to now for Nick Caserio until he trades Deshaun Watson or whenever that happens.
That's what I was going to ask you before we get into this list.
Yeah.
Will the Texans have an extra exorbitant amount of picks going into that draft, or does it happen after that?
I think they will.
It's done before the draft.
I think so. Okay. I think it does. But I don't think that impacts what you say here. Before free agency, let's just say the draft starts right now.
Okay.
This is hard, dude.
Okay.
If I asked Wade Smith, and every draft expert has to do this, to list the Texans' top three biggest needs, what would they be? And let's pretend that there's not a quarterback, so we can't put – let's pretend that – and we know what this draft class is. There's not a franchise quarterback really available. What would you list as the Texans' top three needs?
They need a receiver.
So receiver would be
up
there?
They need a running back.
Yeah, but top three. You're going to go through and you're going to say they need everything.
Okay, that's true.
But if you had to list the top three, because the only thing they don't need right now is a punter. And a left tackle, if Laramie Tunsil is going to be 100%,
they need a corner, they need a running back, and they need a receiver. 100%.
They need interior line.
Yeah, but we're talking about drafting.
Most need.
The top three needs they need the most, I think. I will go
and
with
keep
those
in mind, most of these guys are going to be free agents too. So even if you like somebody.
And when I say those needs, that means we're going to take these positions very high, very early in the draft.
Even Tunsil, though, you don't know how much longer he's going to be here. So you can make a case that if you're playing chess and not just looking like right in front of you, you could make a case at tackle, unless you like Titus at left. But if I asked you to do that, could you do it right now? Just attempt. We won't set this in stone. What would you say?
I mean, like I said, you need a corner.
Okay.
You definitely need a corner because they don't have a number one corner on the team. And you've seen.
I like how Terrence Mitchell and Thomas are playing.
Yeah, they're playing well.
And King, but those aren't number ones.
No, they're not. And so, can they be on your team? Yes. But when you line up against Stephon Diggs, when you line up against Davante Adams, these are not guys that you want to major in that.
True.
So
corner.
A number one corner, which they have the ability to get. I like the idea of a pass rusher. Like a legitimate defensive lineman that's a dog. Like, you got the like Thibodeau and you got the Hutchinson. Either one of those guys, like for sure.
Oregon and Michigan, if you don't know.
A running back, dog. It's been too long. It's been too long since the Texans had a legit running back.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
You can get that
it's been
in the
since
second.
2014.
The second round is the prime time for a running back. Because a lot of people don't value him as much. And quite honestly, the thing about running back, I think it's best to draft him high. But the problem with drafting him in the first round now is that they're so smart that typically the reason you draft a guy in the first round is because you have that fifth-year option. But running backs are realizing like how the position is looked at, and they're holding out after 3 years. So they're not letting it play out like receivers and quarterbacks often are. They're holding out. But in that second round, if you just look around the NFL and you look at some of the best, like Chubb, Mixon, Dalvin Cook,
mm-hmm.
a lot of guys were drafted in the second round, and that's where you typically get that. Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
So
that's a good one.
There's a lot of that's where you can get, like, if Isaiah Spiller from A&M or something like that, like, this is where you can get those running backs. I think that second round, that beginning of the second round, is really, really a good chance for the Texans to get one.
Yeah, because now you mitigate your risk. You're not investing as much off the top as far as salary. What they're going to garner after, when they get to their second contract, isn't going to be the same. And actually, once you get to the second contract, especially with the way that running backs are looking right now, it's almost like self-fulfilling prophecy, because, you know, 10 years ago, running backs were highly sought after and people would pay them. Yeah. And then they stopped paying them, and all of a sudden running backs keep getting hurt. Like, like it's almost like they devalue them because, hey, they're a dime a dozen and they get hurt all the time and so on and so forth. But I don't remember running backs getting hurt all the time back in the day. But now it's like the top 10 running backs in the league, probably half of them are out and have been out for extended period of time. And so
But you still need
somebody that can get up and go. So getting them in the second round kills the two birds with one stone. You get a very talented player, but at the same time, it's not like you're paying a fifth year guy, you know, $60 million to be a running back.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing about, like, the young ones, though, they're still out there trying to, like, Jonathan Taylor's in his second year. And make no mistake about it, like, if Jonathan Taylor only plays 3 years for the Indianapolis Colts, that was a good pick in the second round. You have 100%. An MVP candidate right
100%,
now. 100%. And then you can try to figure it out afterwards. If you draft a wide receiver and he only plays for you 3 or 4 years or something like that, then it's probably not as good of a pick. But, like, in the second round, when the Texans have the top of the second round, and that's why I wanted them to take Jonathan Taylor or A.J. Dillon or Antonio Gibson or J.K. Dobbins, like, when they had that second round pick in 2020. And a lot of people said, well, you're minimizing, you don't draft a running back here. No, that's actually the perfect place to do it. Like, you look, I just listed all that. Like, there's a whole list of guys. Like, that's the time when you are supposed to do it, especially with the class that was there. They're going to have that opportunity again this year with some pretty good backs coming out, like Spiller, all these other guys. And then the next year, you're going to have some good backs too. Bijan Robinson from Texas. There's a lot of studs that you can get in the second round. But I'm with you on the running back, because you can minimize it, and you can say, if you're looking at, like, a long shelf life, or you're looking at, like, guys coming out of nowhere, you can minimize it. But when it comes to an SOB when healthy, like, whether they're healthy or not, it's hard to find too many guys that can impact a game like a badass running back.
Difference period. 100%. Like, look at the way that the Titans look now since they've lost their running back, since they lost Derrick Henry. Look at the way that the Ravens have functioned as an offense since they lost
all three
of their running backs. Like, it's just, think about what the Cincinnati Bengals would look like if they didn't have Mixon.
What about the Steelers? Like, the Steelers are terrible, but Najee Harris has been, like, someone who's at least given them, like he's prevented them from falling off a cliff.
Right, because they'd be like a two-win ball club if they didn't have him. But he's been playing at a very high level since he's joined the team, and so he's helping. He's keeping them in the mix. Look at teams like the Saints with Kamara. They look bad last night.
Another day two pick right there. Alvin Kamara, already had a running back. That's a day two pick.
Same thing with the Panthers. Like, the Panthers have Christian McCaffrey, and that's a guy. He was a higher pick, but you look at a guy like that, him being in the lineup, it's a night and day between when he's in the lineup and when he's out of lineup. And so having a running back that is, I don't even want to say competent, but a difference maker, it makes a difference for whether you're going to win and lose ball games. So I think I would put that spot as a priority on my list.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Caserio, when he was at New England, I don't think he had final say or anything, but, I mean, they did draft Sony Michel in the first round, and I know Sony Michel, you can look at it either way you want, but when they went to won their last Super Bowl, he was a big part of it. He was toting that rock 25-plus times, so I'm with you on that. What to watch for on Sunday? You have Indianapolis as a 9-point favorite. To me, it just seems like a no-brainer that I think the Colts win by double digits. If the Texans are able to keep this game close, I would be surprised. And Indianapolis is a team who, every game since week 4, they've had a double-digit lead. Now, you can look at that and say, well, this team's, you know, blowing games, certain games like they did to Tampa Bay last week. But also, if you're up double digits, that means you're capable of doing some pretty good things. I think Indianapolis I think they win by double digits. I think they cover this. It just seems like another sucker bet like the one last night. But the last night, yeah. John Lopez won his $200 for a reason.
I tell you what, man. Jonathan Taylor, I expect to see a heavy dose of him this week. And they didn't see as much of him as you would have thought against the Bucks because
they stopped running. You know, Vita Vea is impossible to run on.
But Frank Wright did a really good job explaining why he didn't get as many touches as maybe one might like, talking about the RPO game. But I think this is going to be a game, especially against this defense, stopping the run. They're okay at best at stopping the run. Against a guy like Jonathan Taylor, I think they're going to struggle with that because when you look at the offensive line of the Colts, it's not a good matchup against the Texans' defensive line when you're talking about stopping the run. I mean, Roy Lopez, I think he can do a good job, but he's still having to deal with Quentin Nelson. I know he's a rookie. He's a rookie, though, playing against Quentin Nelson. So I expect the Colts to win this thing kind of running away. The only thing that I think they can keep the Texans in the game is if they can force Carson Wentz to turn the ball over.
Yeah, which he will.
And I think it's possible. I mean, he's done a good job of protecting the ball this year so far, but he's shown a propensity to do that over his career, and that's one thing that the Texans defense has done really well the entire year is just figure out a way to turn the ball over, get picks, force fumbles, whatever it may be. So that will be the thing that would keep the Texans in the game. Besides that, if it's a game where their turnover margin is tied 1-1 or something like that, I think the Colts win this, you know, by two touchdowns.
What's the difference between having to read an RPO for a corner and a safety? Like, which is it more difficult? Is it more difficult for a corner?
I would say it's more difficult for the safety because the safety has run support. So in other words, like the corner, if you're in man coverage, you're not even looking at the backfield action like that. You're watching the receiver's route. But if you're a safety, you have to read run to pass. And so when you see run read, you might hit it downhill, and then now that the throw comes.
I just asked that because of Lonnie Johnson. I just wonder what his role is going to be like in this.
Well, he's going to be playing corner apparently. So
he got bailed out. You mentioned watching Weston. Lonnie got bailed out a couple of times by some bad throws by Zach Wilson. It could have been a much tougher film for Lonnie Johnson.
Why does Zach Wilson throw the ball so damn hard? Like,
dude, he acts like he's playing at a carnival or something like that, trying to knock over those weighted milk jugs.
Yeah, like he puts everything he got into every single throw.
It's like his receiver slept with his girlfriend or something like that. He's trying to break their hands.
Yeah, like him and Elijah Moore, they might got beef because he was throwing the ball hard as hell at him. Like, I'm going to dot your damn eye because you talked to my girl the other day.
There would have to be we would have to be seeing each other in the locker room. It's one thing to do it at NRG. That's bad enough. But if we're in New York on a cold day and you're throwing the ball like that at me when I'm 4 yards away from you.
Why you throwing the daggone ball so damn hard?
You're gonna have to see me somewhere, man.
Hey, man.
Crazy.
Guess what?
What?
Cecil Shorts is playing in the state championship this weekend.
Oh, Cecil's coaching in the state championship.
He's coaching in the state championship game.
Good for him.
Second Baptist. Like, that's legit.
It's real legit.
Did Stanford make it to the state championship or no?
I'm not sure. I haven't really kept up. He didn't mention it, so I doubt it.
So he probably didn't. Yeah,
probably not.
I mean, Cecil didn't mention it to me. I actually saw it on my Twitter. I talked to him about it the other day. I'm like, damn, y'all going to state, huh?
He said they were in the semis.
Yeah, they won that game. So now they're going to state. They're playing against a team out of Dallas. I think Dallas Christian or something like that. So Second Baptist representing Houston against a Dallas school going down this weekend, man. Good luck to them.
Good for Cecil. Yeah. I'll be rooting for him. Give me a final score, Texans versus Colts.
Give me 31-13, bro.
31-13?
I don't think it's going to be close. I'm trying to figure out a way to how the offense going to move the ball, how they're going to be pre-productive. You know, maybe if Tyrod uses his legs a little bit more, maybe they throw the ball to Brandon Cooks a little bit more, a bit more, but we really haven't seen that lately. And so until they do it, what evidence tells me that that's what's going to happen? So I don't think this one is going to be close. Give me the Colts 31-13.
All right. I'll go 28-13. Close to you. That's the range I got. I got to take the two touchdowns. So I would be betting on Indianapolis if I were there. College football tomorrow. Do the Cincinnati Bearcats pull it off against the Cougs?
I believe they do. I think that Cincinnati just overall is a better football team. I enjoy to watch the Houston Cougars play football. You know, I'm going to represent the group of five, but hey, Cincinnati is just a better team, and I think they're going to make it to the college football playoff. And if they don't, it'll be a travesty. It'll be a Travis Shaw mockery, and the game just needs to blow up.
We'll find out.
It's not right.
On Sunday.
It's not right.
at 11.
I'll down with the blue bloods.
We'll see what happens. Alabama versus Georgia, little Bill O'Brien action. Got a little Michigan. Got to check out my man Hutchinson, how he bounced back after that performance against Ohio
State. If Bama scores more than 13 points, I'll be surprised.
13?
13 points.
I think they'll have over 13 at half. I think they'll have over 13.
I don't see it.
They got too much talent. They can overcome.
Who's calling the game? Who's calling the game?
B.O.B.
No, wait. Georgia's defense is ridiculously good. No, don't say that. They're not nice. They're one of the best defenses in college football to see in a long time.
Yeah, they're good. Alabama's got some studs, though.
They always have studs. But for some reason this year, they haven't looked so studly.
I feel like Nick Saban took B.O.B. to the office.
Doesn't mean anything, bro. You still have to actually, like, know how to call a game. And understand the flow of the game and all those type of things and know how to use the people that you got. And he's been struggling with that all year long. So, and you're going against the best defense in college football. Georgia is probably going to win this because their offense,
I hope they do.
The quarterback isn't that great, but they're going to win this like 27-13.
I hope they do.
They don't Bama's not scoring more than two touchdowns.
I hope you're right. I don't want B.O.B. winning a national championship. Been fun, Wade. Epic weekend of Pigskin ahead. College tomorrow. Pros on Sunday. Pregame 9 a.m. Seth Payne and Sean will get you started. Also going to be joined by Nick Caserio Tuesday at 7:30. So we got you covered. We're all in this together no matter how bad it gets. Thanks to Lee Sterling for hopping on as he does every Friday at 12:40. For Wade Smith and for the OG John Lopez, for Jim Mudd, in for Figgy Fig, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Reaction Monday, 10 a.m. on Monday. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley, hit him with the trademark, Smitty.
It's always real, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.